The following is a presentation of Remnant.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Frank Garcia.
I'm excited this morning with this new series, Walk the Line. And it is hard to keep the balance of grace in our lives for some of us that are facing some tough situations possibly. How can you see grace in that? And it's okay to say, you know what, God, I don't see you in here. How can there be grace in what I'm going through? I don't see you. Reminds me of a story that hopefully it'll touch your heart. It's a different story, something you probably won't expect, and some of you might have heard it. It's about a burglar. Grabs his flashlight, goes and breaks into a house. Walks in there, real quiet, everyone's asleep. Turns on his flashlight, starts looking around because he can't see. He's looking around. He sees the stereo. So he starts for it, and then he hears, Jesus is watching. He freezes, turns off the flashlight, and stands there in the dark for a while. In his mind, he's pondering, who said that? Someone's standing here. Nothing. Okay, I'm hearing things. Turns off his flashlight, goes towards the stereo and grabs it, puts it in his bag. Starts making his way, and he sees some other stuff there on the TV console. He starts going for phones or whatever, jewelry. And again, he hears Jesus is watching. And he stops. He turns around. He goes to the corner where the voice is coming. And he flashes his light on a birdcage, and there's a parrot in there. He goes, did you say that? The parrot goes, yeah, Jesus is watching. What? What do you mean? Jesus is watching. What's your name? Moses? Moses? What kind of people name animals like that? He goes, the same people that named our Rottweiler Jesus? Can you see me now? I thought that was pretty touching and pretty fitting for the topic this morning. So don't be burglars. Jesus is watching. And it's amazing that God is in everything and he sees us all the time. I want to draw your attention to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 18 through 23. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. I'm reading the God's Words translation. It reads like this. God's anger is revealed from heaven against every ungodly and immoral thing people do as they try to suppress the truth by their immoral living. What can be known about God is clear to them because he has made it clear to them. From the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly observed in what he has made. As a result, people have no excuse. They knew God, but did not praise and thank him for being God. Instead, their thoughts were pointless, and their misguided minds were plunged into darkness. While claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for statues that looked like mortal humans, birds, animals, and snakes. That we see a lot of today. We see a lot of idols. A lot of figures people worship. And there's two things I believe nowadays that people worship the most, in my perspective. Two things. Money and people. There are some great people that speak powerful words out there that are in power, but have no foundation in Christ or believe in God. And many people are succumbing to following these other voices, these other statues, these other idols. Money is profoundly powerful. Money can do good things and money could do bad things. Don't get me wrong. The Bible does say this. Jesus said it. The root of all evil is the love of money. There's nothing wrong with having money, but it's how you're using it. And nowadays, there are companies, I'm learning a lot where I work now, where the chemicals and these powerful empires that sell their products aren't really caring for people and their conditions of health. They just want to sell their product at all costs. It's almost like they're trying to minimize population in our globe. My wife and I sit down and see programs like this on Netflix about food matters and what the world's doing. And my wife and I like to watch different programs, and it explains it clearly. They even had interview people that would go to these big companies. They would not even let them in with a camera, and you can hear them with the microphone. They would kick them out because he was just asking for information on what these companies do, and they would kick them out. And it's so true, like Mr. Arviso said, I'll reiterate. We need to learn the Bible and what it says, folks. You need to read it. And this morning, you're probably saying, you know what? I don't see God. Why is this happening? Why are you reading? Are you reading His Word? And I don't mean, okay, I read my verse for the week and Jesus wept. No. You need to read a book every day. My wife has encouraged me here lately. I'll read a chapter or two every day at work now. She reads more than I do. She has a little bit more time, of course. But I'm making the time at work. And I'll text her, honey, I read the whole book of Corinthians. She goes, well, now read this one. Oh, man. Read a chapter. You're not going to see God or know God if you don't read His Word. That's why He left us the Bible. You want to see God? You read His Word. You start meditating it and believing it. Since 2016, this year entering, how many miracles have you seen God do? This is week 3. I have seen God do many great things in 3 weeks in certain people in my life. I've seen a married couple 30 some odd years ready to leave each other. They're in love now, dating, and they're going to count. They want to come talk with me. They want to work it out. I get to see my son now. I haven't talked to him in over 10 years. My sister's here today. Amen. That's God. God is powerful. What we see and what He sees is different from what we see. You need to see Him for who He is. And I can't help but take us again from Romans 2, where the books I love to use is the Old Testament. Moses. In Exodus chapter 3. I love this little story, and I want to pull out and draw out some of these verses how Moses didn't even see God at one time. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 reads like this. Moses, taking care of the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro, he better, because that's dad-in-law, you better do it for the law. The priest of Midian, as he led the sheep to the far side of the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The messenger of the Lord appeared to him. There's flames of fire coming out of the bush. Moses looked, and although the bush was on fire, it was not burning up. So he thought, what is this thing burning up? I must go over there and see what this strange sight is. This is an amazing story to me. Because most of us are Bible scholars here this morning. I know most of you know the story of Moses. Was born. They were killing all the little boys. Pharaoh were wiping out the boys. So the mom and the sister made a basket, threw them in the Nile. One of Pharaoh's daughters picked them up, raised him. She took him in. It's funny. You know what I learned about Moses? Moses lived to be 120 years. And his life was in sections of 40 years. For 40 years, he lived in Egypt as prince. Then for 40 years is when he went to the desert. Then for 40 years later, he found God and started serving God. Then he passed. It means something. Those 340s mean something. But I needed you to know that nugget there, how God works. But 40 years in Egypt, mind you. So now he ends up in the Midian desert. And he had to run because he killed the guard, remember? He was a prince and he saw his tribe, the Hebrew tribe, being beaten by these slaves. So he jumped in to help out, and by accident, I believe he might have killed the guard. So he ran. He got scared. He took off. And this is where we pick up this story in verse 1 of Exodus 3. And now he's in the desert, married to Jethro's daughter. Now he's a sheep herder. So my first point is, when it seems God isn't there, he is. When it seems God isn't there, he is. Verse 1, Moses is taking care of the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. As he led the sheep to the far side of the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So here's Moses. He went from a great civilization to no civilization. Can you imagine? The prince of Egypt and now a sheep herder. Imagine his quiet moment. Can you imagine some of you? You're doing good and you're successful. Whammo, all of a sudden, you're way down here. Where's God in that? I was doing so good. And now, God, I'm a sheep herder. But Moses didn't quite care. He took off. What I found interesting for me personally in my studies is this. In those first 40 years in Egypt, he wasn't a Christian yet. But he was still a Hebrew called by God. You're still a child of God called by him. What is your excuse this morning? Not to follow God or give him more time or read and grow more. We need God in our lives, folks. We need Jesus at all cost. Moses must have thought, wow, I remember when I had a throne, I had my own chair, I had my own room, my own plasma screen, surround sound. I went out all the time. People cleaned my dirty room. They changed my clothes. And now he's in the desert. I have been moved to the desert by God in my life as a Christian man. He brought me really low because he had to. There were some things in my heart that needed to change. That I hadn't grasped yet, or understood, or learned, or stood by and walked by. You know the story when I was with my prior wife before she passed from cancer? I got proud for our first year of Christians and left her. I knew the word. You don't know nothing. See you, woman. Oh boy, was I a rude awakening. He brought me low. He'll squeeze you as low as you want to go. You know that thing they play, come under that bar? How low do you want to go? He'll keep pressing. He'll keep pressing. With love, he'll keep pressing. Until you recognize this God and you start reading his word. Until you stop focusing that on the riches of this world and you start focusing on the riches of Jesus Christ and his word. He will direct the rest. That's grace. You'll find grace serving God. Humbling yourself for God. So how did Moses get here? Where was God in this trial? He sees this wild bush burning but didn't burn up. You know what's funny about this burning bush? I studied into it. I started reading documentaries and scholars and what they thought of this burning bush. Did you know 30% of believers, religious studying men, scholars believe 30%. That this burning bush Moses saw was just like the sun hitting at a certain angle in the whirlwind, making it look like a fire. I am sorry, folks, but all of you in this room, even these little kids up here, you hand them a stick on fire and tell them, grab the fire. Well, some probably will, but they know it's going to burn you. We know what fire is. I believe Moses is a grown man. I know he saw a bush and it was on fire. You all know what fire is like. It'll burn you. But this bush did not consume. It did not consume. And then he's staring at it and it says, Moses. Yeah, you, Moses. Have you heard him this week? Have you heard him this week? Johnny, Martita, Mary, Lupe, Jesus, whatever your name is here this morning, have you heard it from him? It's too noisy in your life, maybe, huh? Too busy. You need to stop, man. And you could easily tell me, Frank, I don't know how to hear God's voice. Easy answer, I'll ask you again. Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying faithfully with a believing heart? Not a doubting heart. Like I said last time, not a complaining heart. Oh God, why is this happening? I've told you before, when I got kicked out of my house, I thanked him and praised him. When my prior wife was in her last leg, I said, okay, God, take her home. And he did. Sometimes God takes away. That's why the Bible says God gives and takes away sometimes for our benefit, for our good. We don't know what's up ahead. We just got to keep going up ahead. We got to come to that burning bush experience. And I'm getting somewhere with this about the burning bush. Here's the bush calling his name. And I have this question as I read this text. Did Moses sense God was there before the bush was on fire? No. How did Moses know that was God? He revealed himself in a fire. He had to show. Imagine how many times Moses worked that area. 40 years, he was in the desert, sheep herding. How many times have you passed by God and you don't turn to him? How many times us as Christians and believers, we know God is speaking to us right here and we keep going the other way. And he appears to you through some miraculous event in your life and you glorify him for those few seconds and then you turn away again. All those events that take in your place in your life, you need to tell people and give God the glory. And that should grab you and move you faster and harder towards Jesus. That he is there. Maybe you are alone this morning. And maybe you are hurting or waiting for some spectacular event to take place. But it's not happening. And we fleshly, carnally, quickly say, our human side, our nature sin side, God, where are you? I don't see you. Let me go clean my ears. Maybe I need some better Q-tips. You need some spiritual Q-tip. This is called the Bible. It's word. That'll clean some wax out. The Holy Spirit will come in there. Man, you bring me a shovel, this guy's got a lot of it. That was me. I'm not talking about you. That was me. They took out truckloads out of my ears probably. I was so full of the world and the life I led and the way my family lived and my friends. I ran 110% how they lived and I did it too. I was going with the flow. I told you before I was going with the flow. Bass fish go against the current. That's us. We should be going against the current, not with the current. Broad is the way to destruction, the Bible says, but narrow is the path for us. And it's good for us to balance and trust. There's a great movie, a true story called Walk the Line. Walk the Line, I believe we just saw recently. My wife's looking confused, but I know what I saw. It's a man back in the 40s or 50s. He walked the two towers before they were blown. They were barely building the towers. His ambition was, I'm going to America from England, I believe, somewhere across the world. He came all the way over here, got some people involved, got them to help him out and bring all the gear up one night. And he tied these wires and he crossed them like 8 or 10 times. The cops wanted to grab him and he just turned the other way. Imagine all that passion and drive he had. His heart was, I'm going to go cross that line. Do you have that same drive this morning? Are you that hungry? Or are you just comfortable? Oh, I'm good. This is the recliner, if you want to know. I don't have one. We need to buy one so I can do it more. So I can profess truth. We get comfortable. You need to get a passion and a drive to believe God is there. Just because bushes aren't burning around us does not mean God's not there. He's always there. Little ones, God's watching you too. He sees everyone. And you know what the Bible says? He knows your name. I was talking to our brother this morning about how God, these scientists keep going further and further, and all these stars, more planets. They can't find an end because God has no end. He's big and great and powerful. And then it goes on to say this. He knows all the names of the stars. So I told the brother this morning, can you imagine from Adam and Eve up to us right now that are still alive? He knows all those people that have died and all of us that are still alive, all by name. And we're afraid to get and walk the line sometimes and trust God? Come on. You need to trust him and believe in him and know that he is there. Just because you can't see him, he is there. Amen? He is there. God was there the whole time. But he says, "Hi, Moses, I'm going to have to make a little bush burn and just get your attention." And some of you, like me, have had miracles happen. That's what you hold on to and run with it. Because you're going to have more trials. You're going to go through things, but you're going to remember, you know what? He moved that mountain. He's going to move this one too. That giant took me down for a little bit, but he's going to take this giant down too. I'm facing some tough trials right now, but he handled that one. He can take this one, no problem. Think of the universe again, how we've created. That's why I like that verse. Everything he's made it clear to humanity. And scientists are trying to disprove God. Kick him out. It just exploded into existence. What a lie. It's God. I'm sorry, but it's God. It'll always be God for eternity. It'll always be God. And when we come face to face, you're going to know the Bible says, "Oh, I get it now." Yeah, I was showing you the burning bushes, but you didn't get it all your life, but you're here. Come on in. We're going to have some burning bush experiences. You're not going to understand it, but just go to it. I can imagine Moses. He had to have probably, and it goes on to say, if you read the story, he says, "Stop, hold on. Take your shoes. You're a little dirty. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. We need to learn to come down a little bit like this and praise him." Some of you can be proud for, "I'm not kneeled down for God. I dig my forehead as hard and deep as I can to the carpet to get as low as I can. I want to put my mind and my brain all the way to the ground because I want my heart up higher so he can speak to my heart and my mind's out of the way. That's why we're in a prostrate position like this. He wants your head down so he can speak to your heart. I know some of you possibly physically can't do that. But that's why the Israelites back then, that was the tradition, to get on your knees and put your head on the ground and humble yourself and talk to the God you can't see. And let him see your heart because your heart is higher in that position and he can speak to your heart. And read his word. You'll never see God if you're not reading and believing and living for him. Words are good, but actions are powerful. You can have the most beautiful words, but if there's no action behind it, I'm sorry, but you're just like a clanging cymbal, louder than mine. You sound good, but what do your fruits show when you're at home alone? How do you treat your wife, your kids, your boss, your coworker? That's God. He's right there watching you. Kids, are you doing your homework? Are you listening to your parents? If you don't have parents, listen to an adult that loves Jesus. And I speak to some young youth. "Oh, but you don't understand, Frank. I have step-parents." I hear that one all the time from teens. And I love that question because you know why it takes me right away? This is not in my notes, but this is for the teenagers that some of you probably didn't have a parent raised like my case with my son. Now I will get to see him. But he had a stepdad. And he told me some things that I probably will not share. They're kind of anonymous, but it wasn't a good thing. Some of you have stepdads. "Oh, you know what? I don't have a real dad." Yeah, you do. He's out there somewhere. "I don't have a real mom." Yeah, she's out there somewhere. But where is she now? You got Jesus. Jesus' dad wasn't his dad. God is his father. Joseph was his stepdad. We have no excuse. You can try to find when it's in here. The answers are in the Bible. Stepdad or real dad, they're your parents right now. God gave you to lead you and teach you. And let me share this with you, youth, young ones. If your parents aren't living up to what the Word of God says, come talk to us. We'll pray for your parents. Some of you little ones sometimes speak to your parents' words of God, and the parents will hear. I had two teen girls that were not my biological daughters that I raised praising God, and they would say some things to me that would say, "Wow, I was so wrong." As parents, we don't always have the answers. Let your children speak. Let your teens speak to you. But be open with them. You'll see God through your children as well. They're innocent. I always say this too. As adults, well, we can hate someone and hold it for a day or two. I'm not going to talk to that guy. Remember what you told me? We won't talk to each other. That's how adults act. You get two little five-year-olds. Give them the same toy and they'll fight for it. You take it away, and a little while they're playing together anyway. They'll find a stick or something. They get over it like this. That's why Jesus said, be like little kids. Have their type of heart. Forgiving. Let it go and move on. You'll see God. You'll see grace. Amen? We're so caught up in the hustle and bustle and the cares of this loud world we live in. And wherever you find yourself, look at this scripture in 1 Kings 19:11. 1 Kings 19:11. I love this scripture. The Lord said, go out and stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came, what came? A gentle whisper. Do you get it? We're going to have earthquakes in our lives that we don't like. We're going to have storms that, where did this come from? Wait and listen for the whisper of the living God. What is the last thing? It's going to take this world fire. Then who comes? Jesus for his people. He's going to say, come, my bride. Come, my people. That's what I believe. That's probably going to be his last whisper to the believers. Come, my bride. You're ready. You're ready. I'm here. Your groom's here. Because we all have earthquakes, storms, and winds we're facing sometimes. But you need to go through it and just be patient and listen for that gentle voice to speak to you. Get quiet. And I know sometimes it's happened to all of us. It happens to me. My stomach grumbles. My mind gets in the way and says, you're hungry. No, and I start praising God. I'm thinking of a burger or a soda or whatever. And I start talking more to God and I try to envision his throne and him sitting there. And that thought goes away. The hunger goes away. And you're in another pace of praying again. Our mind gets in the way. Our flesh is always going to get in the way. Don't doubt. God is there. He's always trying to show his awareness to us. And this is what I put. It's not that God's not there. It's that we're not aware of it. It's not that God is not there. It's that we are not aware of it. God is always there. Look at Matthew 28:20. Matthew 28:20. Jesus said this. Teach them to do everything I have commanded you. And remember that I am always with you until the end of the time. We're going to live a life, folks, and we're all going to die one day. But if you're living for Jesus, he said, I will be with you till the end. Guess what? When we take our last breath, he's right there waiting for us. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:1-2, it's better on your day of death than their day of your birthday. We all celebrate birthdays. I've said that before. But your day of the death is the best. I can't wait to roll up this tent. I am tired of this body and what it wants to do, always contrary to God. It doesn't let me see him. I want to pray sometimes and the flesh gets in the way and I would say, God, I want to see you. Let me see you, God. You need to cry sometimes. The Bible says in the last days, Jesus said, he's looking for people who worship him what? In spirit and in truth. You start getting on your face really, really passionately from your heart, crying out for your life, for your loved one, for a family member, for a job, for whatever it is you are praying for. You passionately get down there and you cry to this powerful God. You're going to see him and feel his power. I have lived it. I see it all the time. He shows me his mighty right arm. He says, look, Frank, marriages, I restored that one. Look at healing, healing. I'm bringing your son back. Your sister's going to be better. They're going to have jobs. Yes, God, do it for them. I'm not there complaining for you on my knees. Oh, God, why is this happening to the sister? Why is this happening to his brother? No, God, you do it for them. And I, you know what I say in the middle of that prayer? Show them what they need to see, what they're going through. I don't have the answers. The Bible does. And God says he is there. Jesus says, I am always with you. I am always with you. Jesus is always with you. Students, if you're having trouble with your grades, pray to Jesus. Talk to him. Oh, Lord, I forgot what this answer was. Can you help me? It's okay. He wants you to talk to him. Like the person you're sitting next to, whoever you hang out with, how you talk to them when you're alone, do the same thing. My wife hears me sometimes when I'm praying. It's funny. I told you a while back my mother-in-law was there, and we're sitting there. Bless my wife's heart. It just stuck with me. We're sitting there, and she goes, oh, Mom, tomorrow Sunday, Frank speaks. But if you hear him talking in another room, it's him talking with God. And that's how it should be. God is there. But we don't see him because we're too busy in our loud world. Other things are more important than God. I'm not telling you neglect your marriage. I'm not telling you neglect your kids. And I'm not telling you don't listen to your boss. I'm telling you, if you do what the Bible says, you'll see God's hand move. And you'll start seeing God move in people's lives. That's when you'll see God. Our prayer should be, God, give me the awareness. Add that to your prayer now. God, give me an awareness of you. Convict me. Because some of us think we're okay. We're serving. We're good people. Good has nothing to do with it. I told you last time, heaven is not full of good people, but of forgiven people. That's what heaven is full of. Forgiven people. It doesn't matter how good you are. It means nothing because Jesus already paid it on the cross. We just need to live for him and know that he's there. My second point is this. When it seems that God doesn't care, he does. Look at Exodus 3:7, verse 7. The Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their crying out because the slave drivers. I know how much they're suffering. God did care. But he needed to teach them something through that suffering. Sometimes we're going to go through stuff and we need it, folks. When we think at times God isn't there, he is. And at times we can even say this, oh, well, it doesn't matter. God's not really there anyway. He doesn't care. I'll just continue living how I live. Notice how it says, I have seen. And it says, I have heard. And I know. He does care. You see, the Israelites were in Egypt a very long time. And they were probably thinking in that mud, what happened to the promised land? We've heard about this promised land and all we've been seeing is mud. And all they had was mud baking in this hot Egyptian sun. And I'm sure some of those mud-kicked Israelites begin to doubt. We begin to doubt. Will God really keep his word? Will God keep his promise to my life? Why am I going through this? Does God even care? Let me tell you, he does, because we just read it. It's funny, I found this piece on the internet. The Nazi camps where the Germans would hold all these Nazis they killed, the Israelites, the Jews. They found this on one wall. It said this in a Nazi camp wall. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when not feeling it. I believe in God, even when he is silent. This is people. They were killed. They were starving. They had no hope. And they wrote this on the wall. That's a lot of faith. This person that engraved this, I'm sure, loved Jesus. And they knew where they were going. No matter how they tortured them, or this person at least, we must trust this truth. God cares, period. God cares, period. Which brings me to my last point. When it seems that we can't hack it, we can. We can. Why? Because God is with us. If you're going through something, remember how big he is. Think of the universe. Go outside and look at the stars and try to count them. Get on the internet and try and find how many species of rabbits there are. The other day we had a subject at work, because I work with a Christian brother there in the office. He wanted to know how many types of sheep there are. I found, I think, 121 types of sheep, male and female, horns or no horns. because he was working on a sermon. He always comes to me, Pastor Frank, I got to speak at my church. Can you help me? Sure. And I help him out. There's all kinds of different sheep. God made them as numerous as well. They're always finding new species, new insects, new things in the ocean. God says they're always seek, but they'll never find. Even the smartest person in the world is not even that a quarter of what God's not smartness is. Paraphrasing that verse. God is immense. Remember him. How he does what he does. We breathe. We have our living. We have families. We have health. We're alive still. Praise him for that. He has a promise for you. Look at Exodus 3. When it seems we can't hack it, we can. And why? Look what Moses did. He thought he couldn't. Verses 11 through 15. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. And this will be the proof that I sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, all of you will worship God on this mountain. Then Moses replied to God, suppose I go to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? What should I tell them? God answered Moses, I am who I am. This is what you must say to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. And God said to Moses, this is what you must say to the people of Israel. The Lord God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my title throughout every generation. What a great, unexplainable thing happens here. Why did Moses think he couldn't hack it? I put this first. What matters is not who we are. What matters is who we're with. You get it? It doesn't matter who we are, but it matters who we're with. God is with us. God is with you and God is with me. You need to remember that. So why did Moses think, I can't hack this, I can't do this? Look at verse 11 again. Who am I that I. Look at verse 13. Suppose I go tell the people. What should I tell them? I. Canta y no llores. You know what that means in English? Sing and don't cry. Praise God and worship him. Quit being a quick big baby. Quit putting I in the way. You get in his way. There's nothing you can't do. It's not about I. It's about God and I. It's not about you. It's about God and you. I gets in the way. Moses was focused on what he was capable of, not on what God was going to do. I never thought in my wildest dreams, I've told you, I'd be up here speaking God's word. I was a gangster, a thug, a hateful man. And now he has me up here preaching the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's using me and I don't care. I want him to use me and give me wisdom to instill into his people at all cost. Use me, Lord. Empower me. Let them see you, God. Less of me, more of you. That's where it's at. I don't want to get in God's ways. God responded, I will be with you. Moses was backpedaling. Ay. What should I say? What should I do? Ay. He was backpedaling. God said, I will be with you. What a promise. God, I don't know if I can do this job. I am with you. Frank said 16 years ago, gosh, you're giving me a pastor position. I don't think I can do this, but God, so be it. Yes, I will be your pastor. You put me in school, train me, I will go. I was afraid, absolutely. It was thrown at me. Some elders sat me down. A pastor was moved on. This Frank, it's your turn. You want a pastor? Of course, absolutely. I would love to. Sure, I'm ready. The nodding this is inside. I was afraid, and it's normal, but I went for it. 16 years later, here's Remnant, here's you and us. How awesome is that, the promise? I never saw where he was going to take me. He took me through other churches and other ministries, sent me to Mexico on missions trips, sent me to hospitals, sent me to work in the field. He sent me to work as a landscaper. He sent me to do a teacher. He sent me to be a PE coach. He sent me to work in an office, but it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in front. It's always been Jesus in front. I will never get in the driver's seat because I gets in the way. Remember that song? It'll hopefully help you when you're facing that trial and you don't understand that burning bush, that it's getting hot, I don't like this. And you turn the other way. Canta y no llores. Start praising God. Quit crying. Amen. Get yourself out of the way. And you might be saying, God, I can't do this. You can't possibly make this happen for me. And let me say this. In a sense, you're right. In a sense, you're right. You probably can't. You can't do it, but God can. If you put I out of the way. All the suffering we go to, the Bible clearly says it's for a little while. Even if he takes people home, it was his will. You just got to trust him. We got to focus on him. God first, put I aside. See, God's grace is always with us, but we need to come to him. We need to come to him. Amen. Worship team, come on up. I want to show you something before I close. Grace is a gift. Grace is a gift. And this next song we're going to close with, I pray that you can make this next song your prayer. Start praying this week. Start praying to give you an awareness of his presence. Ask God to let you see him. Let you see him. Look what it says in Hebrews 4:16. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. With confidence that it's going to happen. Jesus said, pray as it is, not as it might be. On earth as it is in heaven, God. I've been praying that lately. God, help this person on earth as it is in heaven. And it goes on to say, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find what? Find grace for what? To help us in our time of need. There it is. You need to come to the throne of grace. Amen. And again, this next song, make it your prayer. But what could grace possibly look like? Grace is a gift. And sometimes it can be wrapped pretty ugly like this gift. Sometimes we don't like the gifts God gives us. And sometimes they're not pretty and it doesn't feel good and we don't like it. But what you're going to see right now, I hopefully this picture will paint you a picture, not in your mind, but in your heart of what grace looks like. Because God is powerful. God heals and he'll change your life. But you can't give up. Grace wasn't cheap for Jesus. I see my family hurting. My brothers and sisters going to hell possibly. Because they don't want to believe in Jesus. Because they think they're okay. And grace costs. What could it possibly look like when I found this? I told my wife, we got to get this for our house. Forgive my tears. But this is all of us. This is all of us. That's what grace looks like. He carries you. No matter what you've done. No matter how you're living, no matter how bad you've been to your parents, no matter how bad you've blown it and those decisions that weren't good, he changed my life. He can change yours. He's changing my family. He can change yours. But you hold on. You come to that burning bush. You move where the Holy Spirit moves you. Even when you don't like it, you do it. You come to that burning bush. Let him break you. Let him break you like he breaks me still as a pastor. It's right here. That's what you look like. That's what I look like. He's always carrying you. He's carrying that uncle, that aunt. And those that have died, they're in a better place. They're in glory. And we're going there. Amen. Grace is good. Learn what grace costs. Practice to see Jesus. You ask God, show me you, Lord. Decrease me in more of you. Amen? Let's pray. Fix
my eye. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.